Today we're in 1 Peter chapter 2.
Verse 13. Then he says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Obey the laws of our land." This verse just means I am going to recognize that I am under God's authority in my life. God's authority. You know what? God established the home, and in the Bible he tells us how to run it. God established government, and in the Bible he tells us how to run it. God established the church, and in the Bible he tells us how to run it. So our responsibility is to obey the Lord for the Lord's sake. We are giving a testimony. How do I praise God? I praise God by living a godly life and being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, it says, "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God." Verse 15 says, "For this is the will of God." I remember as a younger person, I had a lot of discussions with people about the will of God. What's the will of God in your life? What's the will of God in my life? What's God want me to do the next 10 years? What's the will of God in your life? And here's what he says, verse 15. He says, "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." Will of God, well-doing, live right, obey. By obeying, we are praising God. We are, in a sense, we are advertising God's virtues. Verse 16 says, "As free and not using your liberty." You know what? As a believer, there's quite a bit of freedom in how you want to live. There's freedom in how you want to live, but here's what you need to remember. At the same time that we are free, we are servants. Servants of God. And people are watching. So how we serve God, how we live, will impact other people. So I can say, well, I'm free to go do this or go do that. But also, with that freedom comes a responsibility because I'm a servant. So you want to be careful that you do not hurt another believer. Look at verse 17. It says, "Honor all men." That just means respect men. We need to have a respect for fellow human beings. We need to respect them, treat them well, be kind. There's never any reason to be rude or crude. Honor, respect other people. And then it says, we are to love the brotherhood, love believers. If there's anybody here in the world that you should love, it's other believers in Jesus Christ. Love the brethren. We know that you're saved because you love the brethren. If you're here today and you're totally uncomfortable, you don't like being around Christian people, probably not saved. Once you're saved, there's a desire to be around other Christian people. You love the brothers, the brethren, the other believers. And then it says, fear God. Now, some people like to say, I've heard people say, you know, God doesn't want him to fear us. Yes, he does. You want to have a very healthy, reverent respect and fear of God. I would have told you 30 years ago that I feared God. I would have told you 20 years ago that I feared God. But I want to tell you today, I've been saved 37 years. I fear God. I fear God. He has the ability. He says in 1 Corinthians 11, "If I will not judge my sin, he will. And he'll judge me with being sick, or he'll judge me with death." That I have a reason to fear him. I'll tell you what, I'm warning you. You are commanded to take this today, but in the Bible. You're commanded to take the Lord's table. But if you take it unworthily, God says he'll judge you. So you're kind of caught. You know what the solution is? You confess your sin, and you walk out the door with the plans not to sin again. Now, you're going to fail somewhere. You're going to continue to sin. I continue to sin. But you and I should sin a lot less today than before when we were saved. Our life should be changed. So should you fear God? Well, He can take your life today if you take this unworthily. He can put you in bed if you take this unworthily. I think that's pretty serious. I think it's worth considering. You do not want to take this just because the person beside you's taking it. And you surely don't want to take this just so other people see you taking it. When you confess your sin at the end of this service, you want to say, Lord, I confess this sin, and by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, I won't do it again. You're in a live-in relationship, and you take the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table here today, you better be planning on breaking it up before you get home. You mistreating your wife, you better, before you go home, you better plan never to do it again. You're smoking pot, and you take the Lord's Supper here today, you better have plans. That's what God wants. He wants you to take it. But you better have plans of not smoking it again. Now, I understand we will fall. We will sin after, no matter how, until Christ takes us to heaven, there's going to be sin. But it better not be a lifestyle. And you better not be planning on sinning when you leave this place today. Now, he says, fear God. Then he says, honor the king. Now, king, president, prime minister, whatever you want to use. I don't know your politics, and I don't know what you think of any president. But I'll tell you this, the Bible says you better honor his position. You can disagree with what he thinks, or what he believes, or the plans he puts in effect, but you better honor the position. Because God has him in authority over us. So, respect all people, love the believers, fear God, honor the king. Now, I want to go back to one thing and then I'm done. The Bible said in verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9, 1 Peter, it said that we are a royal priesthood. Now, the priests of the Old Testament, they had access to God. They had duties and responsibilities in the temple and the tabernacle. They had responsibilities. So it would be foolish for us to think that as priests to Jesus Christ, we don't have responsibilities. I want to share four things with you. Number one, we have a living body. Your body. Romans 12:1 says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. You and I, as priests, and you are a priest. If you're saved, you're a priest. You and I are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, a holy life. We should live a holy life. The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians, abstain from all appearance of evil. So, number one, living body. Number two, we should praise God. In Hebrews 13, verse 15, it says, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God with our lips. We are to praise God with our lips. It is a duty, a responsibility of a priest. It's our duty. Number three, giving your substance. In Romans 12, 13, it says, distributing to the needs of the saints. You and I have a responsibility as a priest to give of our substance to the Lord Jesus Christ. And number four, giving your service. In Hebrews 13, 16, it says, do not forget to do good and share, for with this God is pleased. So we have a duty as a priest to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a duty to give of our substance. We have a duty to praise Him with our lips. We have a duty to live a holy life. How are you doing? How are you doing? One of those duties is to take the Lord's table repeatedly until Jesus Christ returns. We're to remember his broken body and his shed blood. And we are to commit and repeat this until Christ comes again. It's a command. And every time we take it, we are to examine our life and say, how am I doing? Lord, I want you to bring to my mind any sin in my life. And if there's sin in my life, I'm to confess it. Most of our sin, we sin in our mind, we sin secretly. It may be jealousy, it may be bitterness, it may be pride. And that sin is to be confessed. And then we're to take the Lord's table. And I want to ask you, if you would consider, Lord, where am I? Would you show me any sin in my life? And Lord, if you show me sin in my life, I'll confess it. Maybe you're rebelling against God, God's authority. Maybe you're careless in your living. Careless in holy living. Maybe you're living in immorality. Maybe you are into pornography. Maybe you're abusing somebody. Consider, Lord, where I am. And if God shows you that there's sin somewhere, you want to make sure you confess it. With the idea that, Lord, I'm not only confessing this, I determined for this not to happen again. Now, I'm not saying you can never have it happen again. I'm just saying your intent is for it not to happen again. I don't want to live this way. Maybe you have an anger problem. Lord, I want to confess this sin of anger. I want to confess it. And it's my plan not to do it again.